reading from the second chapter of the epistle to the Ephesians, beginning with verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the third chapter of the Gospel according to John, beginning with the 14th verse. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. What does it mean for you to say, I am saved? If you say those words about yourself, what is it that you are saying? If you consider the possibility that you need to be rescued from something, In the Greek, the word means that you're being made whole. You're being made whole. You're being set to completeness. Some deficiency is being corrected. Some depth of hurt is being healed. What does it mean for you to say that you are being saved? For some people, they would say, oh, well, that preacher, that means I get to go to heaven when I die. Well, that's fine. I want you to possibly consider that it might mean that your life doesn't have to be hell now. When I read that text from Ephesians, you may have heard that Paul say, we used to be one set of things. That there are things in the world that distract us and cause us to chase after them. That we serve the decrepit, the broken loves of the flesh that doesn't know Christ. John Wesley called that disordered tempers. That our loves are disordered by sin and we are caused to love things that are bad for us. Ever had that experience? Couldn't figure out why you were drawn to something that you knew was bad for you, but like a dog going to the same pile of stuff all the time, you just kept on going back. That's what Paul is talking about. We're captured by something and we need to be set free from it. That all of us, he said, used to walk in that manner, but now we are something different. And it seems to me that if we stop the idea of salvation at just that we get to go to heaven and wait for the new creation, then we're selling Jesus awfully short. Not only are we selling Jesus short, we're denying Jesus' powers to heal the things in us that cause problems in other people's lives. Now, when I read the Gospels, I see Jesus exerting all sorts of power. I see him healing people of all sorts of things. But the thing that came up this week in my personal reading was the idea that Jesus can heal us from impurity. Now, this does not mean making us sinless or making us perfect. It means making us acceptable for worship, providing us the opportunity to be in the presence of God, not because we have been perfect, but because he keeps our imperfections from becoming ritual impurity in us, which allows us to then be seated with him in, as Paul says, the heavenly realms. Now you notice Paul didn't say anywhere in there that we have been made perfect, but in our tradition, we talk about going on to perfection. That what Jesus is doing here is recreating us so that we become something else. And eventually what we become is people, human beings still, who are partaking of the divine nature of God through the gifts of grace, through baptism and Holy Communion, through the presence of Christ, so that we love God and love our neighbor with our very habit of being. Every last one of you just took a breath. Did you have to remember to do it? Did anybody here have to remind yourself to breathe? Given the extent to which I can't keep up with my car keys, I'm awfully glad that I don't have to remember to tell my heart to beat, aren't you? In the same way, what Paul is telling us, what the letter of Ephesians is telling us, is we are being transformed until our heart becomes something that beats in love on its own. That we don't have to remember to be good, we will do good because it's who Christ is making us to be. Did you hear him say that? You are God's handiwork. Yes, you. And me, all of us together. It's commonplace in some circles to hear somebody say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. This text would bear that out, wouldn't it? That all of us have sinned. And you know, it's funny, I heard somebody say one time, well, I haven't sinned, I don't have anything to be forgiven of. And I just kind of wanted to, you know, let me get over here. I'm not sure how far you have to get away to avoid the lightning, but I wanted to be there, you know? The scripture over and over tells us that we sin in ways that we don't even know because we fall short of what God would have us be. Very often when we're called to look out for the good of others first, because remember, love is willing the good of the other. And very often, we just don't do that, do we? We think first of ourselves and what we want. And we're kind of led around by our stomachs. And Paul is telling us here that there's a different kind of life for us. not because we're special, but because we're in Christ. If we put our faith in Christ, then Christ is at work in us. And we are becoming something different in the same way that a block of wood becomes something different in the hands of an artisan. God is working in us. It's inescapable. It's exactly what the text says. We are saved by grace, not by our own works, because if we could save ourselves, we would boast, which is exactly what some people do. Well, preacher, in 1923 at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I came up front, said to Jesus, and I haven't been to church since because I don't have to. It's not what salvation is. Salvation is a relationship with Jesus that transforms us. It is making us whole. It is snatching us out of what we once were and elevating us into people that God can use for good. There's a transaction that is happening, no doubt. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but what does he say? We are being made alive in Christ. We were dead, but we are being made alive in Christ. We are being created in Christ Jesus to be something different. We were living according to our evil desires, to the disordered loves, the distorted loves of our hearts that want things that are bad for us, but even worse, that are bad for other people. But we are being raised up with Christ. We were subject to demonic powers, he says, but we are being seated in the heavenly places with Jesus. Not later, but now. Transformation. Salvation is a transforming relationship with Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, it's by grace, it's a gift, a gift, a gift, a charity. The Greek word is charis, that can mean grace, mercy, or gift. It's a gift, not something we earn with something we say or a decision we make. It is a gift given to us freely through faith. And even faith, he says, is not something you do. It is a gift to us from God. And all of this is working together in us to transform us so that we will be God's handiwork for the purpose of doing good works. I don't do good works because I want to be saved. I do good works because I'm being saved. Does that make sense, church? I hope it does. It should. It's the gospel. It's the good news that Jesus died and was raised for you so that you can be caught up in him and be raised in him out of the works of death to the works of life. But you don't have to achieve that on your own. You don't have to decide tomorrow I will be a Christian. All you must do is trust that Jesus is at work in your life now. That's it. There is nothing you can do but trust that Jesus is doing. That's it. That's why it's good news. If it depended on me, who I'm pretty sure I don't know where my car keys are now. God help me if my salvation were dependent on me or some decision I made or something I do. Jesus said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." He can't make it any clearer, can he? And so this writer comes along and reminds us that if we would boast about being in Christ, that we should not, that our boasting should only be in Christ. Because we have done nothing to deserve what we are being given. In truth, what we typically do is fight what we are being given. Because we don't want to give up our own will. We don't want to give up our own bad desires. We don't want to give up those things that we enjoy doing, even if we have to do them in the dark and not tell people. But the promise is still here, dear ones. Even though we might fight it, even though we might resist it, the promise is still here that God is at work, working in us. The church. It's by grace we have been saved through faith. And this not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, lest we should boast. But we are being created again in Christ Jesus, his handiwork, the handiwork of God, for the purpose of doing good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do. To boil it down, to be delivered, to be rescued, there must be something we are being rescued from. If you were to see a person floundering around in 3 foot of water at the beach, and a big shark swimming toward them, and you walked out and grabbed their arm and pulled them out of the water, you would have rescued them from what? The shark. Well, what did you rescue them for? Was it not so they could go on living? Was it not so that they could live instead of die? This is the promise that John 3:16 holds up in us. God is rescuing us for the purpose of life. We are being rescued from sin and death, this text tells us. Rescued from sin and death. And what are we being rescued for? To do the good things that God has prepared for us to do. It's that simple. It's that simple. And those are the things that we do together as the church. Through acts of mercy, acts of love, by praying for others, by visiting others when they are sick, by visiting those who are trapped and caught in things, by speaking the word of God to people, by telling people about Jesus, by being his witnesses. All of those things are the good things that God has prepared in advance for us to do, and we are being saved for the purpose of doing them. That is the purpose of our salvation. And it is not something we earn. It is something given to us to transform us so that we might be useful to God and signs of God's power in the world. We are being created in Christ Jesus. It's my prayer that you will let that truth define your every day from this point forward. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.